Thanks for joining us today on CC and Doc Talk, where we talk about everything under the sun. You never know quite what you're going to get, but you'll always be entertained. As leadership development experts and executive coaches, we start out working with every client that we have by providing a foundation that discusses temperament and communication styles. So we figured, why should this podcast be any different? Enjoy. So let's talk temperament, personality type, communication style, however you want to refer to it. Let's talk about what makes people tick.
One of my favorite topics.
I know.
Because I think once you have a basic understanding of temperament theory, which is nature nurture, you know, something we're born with. You know, there's four basic temperaments. And we're going to refer to them by how we learned about them. You know, there's Myers-Briggs. There's all these other ways to...
There's Kiersey, there's DISC.
There's,
a lot.
But we're just going to use them based on real colors and call them, use colors to describe them because they're easier to remember.
It is much easier to remember. And I think that that's why when we were doing this all the time with clients and in the corporate space that, we opted to use real colors because it stuck better than anything else we'd ever done. We're certified in, I don't know how many of these instruments and tools, but this is the one that always worked the best for us.
Absolutely.
And years later, we have clients who can still tell us what color they are. So
it's changed how they communicate.
Right.
This is really about communication.
Right.
And understanding differences.
So colors work.
So colors work. Okay. So let's dive in.
Okay. So the four colors are green, gold, orange, and blue. And we will talk about each in terms of their characteristics and their qualities. We're also recognizing that everybody has all four colors in them to varying degrees. So you may be strong in one color, you may be even strong in two colors. Some people strong in three or four, although they're much less frequent. But you will have a breakout of all four colors in you. So when we talk about them, So when we talk about them, just think about which ones maybe you relate to the most and which ones you resonate with.
Okay. So you said green.
Yes.
Green is all about facts, data, logic, and it's all left brain and it's all basically thinking, you know? So the green, high green, they really don't like in their extremes. They don't like to talk emotions. They don't like to answer the question, how do you feel?
Do they have emotions?
Well, that's it.
We'll get to
that. It's more about, what do you think about that? And how long does it take for a green to make a decision?
A very, very long time. And the best answer to almost every question you could ask a green is, it depends.
Because why?
It depends.
On what?
It depends on everything. It depends on the time of day. It depends on the temperature outside. It depends on
the facts, data, the information that they have at that moment.
At that moment, right. And that's key, right? Because if the data changes, the answer can change.
Okay, and sarcasm.
Sarcasm rules with greens, but it's a little different. Now, golds also use sarcasm, but golds use that biting sarcasm that feels like somebody stabbed you with a knife. Greens use the sarcasm that you really have to be able to get it, and it's very intellectual.
Are there movies, plays, TV that illustrate good greens?
Oh my gosh. The best thing that I could think of that illustrates pretty much all the greens is Big Bang Theory. Almost every person on that show was green. The Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Almost every person on that show was green. And the only thing that differentiated them was their second color. And so if you've ever seen The Big Bang Theory, and if you haven't, you should one episode. Yes.
No.
And then there was one other character in the show who was a flaming orange. And of course, we'll get to orange. But she then was the comic relief, and she basically offset everything in the show because, they were all greens. It's the best example.
That's awesome. All right. Yeah. Anything more on greens? How are they at hugging?
They're not huggers. They have a very large personal space rule. Usually if they do hug, it's only because they've learned to or they've had to from a social perspective. And they...
It's somebody on their inner circle.
Yeah, if somebody is on their inner circle. And again, back to the emotion thing, greens do have emotions, but they tend to really only display them with those people who are really in the trusted inner circle. They take a very long time to make decisions, which means that choosing a spouse for them is a very difficult decision. It's not unusual for greens to have engagements or maybe just relationships that go on and on and on. Sometimes they don't get married for 20 years. And once they've gotten married, they assume that you know that they love them. And if anything changes, they'll let you know.
Yeah, I told you I loved you when we got married. I'll let you know if anything changes.
Right.
But until then, they choose their mate for life because it took so long to make that decision.
Exactly. And the idea of ending that relationship and going through a divorce is probably a thought worse than death. So just because of the pain that it would take, an excruciating detail going through all of those different processes again.
Decision.
Oh my gosh.
All right, where do we want to go next? I think that was a great description.
Yeah, well, the polar opposite of green is blue. So I think it's logical to go to blue next. Very right brain, very creative, very empathic, very emotional. Everything from a blue perspective comes straight from the heart. So whereas greens, everything is about what do you think? Everything with blues is how do you feel? Right? And so think about that when you're using language. If you know somebody's green, you say, don't ask them how they feel about something, ask them what they think. If you know somebody is blue and has that big heart and that compassion, that thoughtfulness, then you really want to say, how do you feel about that? And so blues tend to be very conflict averse. They will stand up for anybody. And they're great champions for causes and for other people. They tend to be wonderful humanitarians. But they definitely don't like conflict, and so they will avoid it. And they often have a really difficult time saying no to people, and so they can.
And what happens when they don't?
If they continue to do things, out of a sense of obligation or responsibility, and they don't feel comfortable saying no or putting boundaries up, ultimately they will have what we call a blue explosion. And it's very unblue-like, and it's very unpleasant if you're in the sphere of it. It could be a bit like being exposed to the sun about a foot away. And there can be tears and yelling and frightful things. And then immediately afterwards, they feel tremendously guilty. And so they go back to being their wonderful blue selves. And blues really do struggle sometimes with being able to process emotions in a way that keeps them from having depression and anxiety, things like that. Now, again, we're talking about, when blues, have, kind of blues in crisis, but blues in their truest sense, they can still be amazing leaders. They can still be very effective professionals in a number of different
professions.
Well, they
know how a change made in any organization is going to impact the client.
Absolutely. They are the most amazing at having their finger on the pulse of what customers need. Super intuition. Very, very, just so thoughtful and wonderful people. And in terms of hugging, they are the best huggers that you've ever met. They will envelope you in a pool of meringue.
Would you say it was like a being wrapped into or folded into meringue?
Folded into meringue, yes. A blue hugger will just give you that full contact, full body hug. And
you've been loved.
You do. And again, keep in mind, we're talking about these colors in their purest sense. And so, if you don't relate to all of that, but you relate to parts of it, it's okay. Part of you is definitely blue. It's just a matter of to what degree.
So is there a movie that portrays blues or a profession that they gravitate toward?
Well, I think that a lot of blues certainly gravitate toward caring professions, helping professions, things that will help them, or things that will allow them to be helpful because they like to be needed. They want to be helpful. They want to be useful, and they want to make a difference in the world. They really do. Yeah. They're also the Betty Whites, right? The pet people, the people who want to adopt a pet, adopt 12 pets. They take care of everybody and everything, sometimes to the exclusion of themselves. So they do have to be careful. It's wonderful when blues can learn to set boundaries, but it's definitely difficult to do. Any movie, any romance novel that you could think of is going to have a great blue character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's move on. What color next?
Well, let's see. Do you want to
Let's
go
do the golds.
To,
let's save the oranges for last.
Let's do the golds.
All right, golds.
Also left-brained.
All right.
Kind of like greens.
So the golds are very well known for their structure, their organization, to-do list. time is of the essence. Not the essence, but it's just they have a natural propensity around time and what it takes to get a project done.
Organizing
it or being somewhere on time. Sometimes being somewhere on time means early. You know, their ability to get to an airport for a flight,
5 hours early.
The day before to make sure you don't miss the flight for the cruise ship or whatever it is. Making sure that they're out the door ready, up in the mornings. I mean, they don't even need
the alarm clock.
They just have this command of time and space and sequencing.
They definitely
getting
tend
things
to be,
done.
Yeah, sorry. They definitely tend to be more type A.
Very accomplishment driven.
Very, very task oriented.
Even on vacation. Goal. Hey, I read 3 novels. Check, check, check. It's like, was that in your itinerary? Which, sometimes they even have an itinerary. They have every day of a vacation planned out.
They always have an itinerary. Let's be real. Yes, strong goals will have an itinerary for fun.
And there's only one way to load that dishwasher or fold that fitted sheet.
Or put the toilet paper on the roll.
Over or under?
It just depends. And so goals are, they're very structured. And sometimes they can be perceived by others as being more controlling because of that. Sometimes they can
be
seen.
Let's get this right. They are more controlling.
They own their world.
They want to control their world at least.
They do. And it's partly because they don't trust that anybody else is going to be able to do it as well as they can. So there's a bit of a my way or the highway mentality. And they definitely tend to lean more toward that micromanagement. If you're not doing it good enough, fast enough, they're going to step in and make sure it gets done. Because if ultimately it reflects on them, they're not going to sit around and watch you procrastinate. And so speaking of procrastination.
Well, how about spontaneity with the gold?
It's all planned.
It's okay if it's spontaneous as long as it's planned.
That's right.
So I have 2 tickets to go anywhere. It's all expenses paid or someplace unknown. Is a gold just going to jump on that?
Well, it depends. How much time does the gold have to prepare for this all expenses paid trip?
Because they have to then rearrange everything and the contingency plan and
have
get
to
everything
plan for the
taken
babysitter
care of.
And make sure the meals are made in advance for the
and everything's
somebody
packed
else who's staying
and they have
there.
To know the detail to be able to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just a yes, let's just go.
Absolutely. So on the flip side of that, let's talk about procrastination and spontaneity. Let's just move right into the gold or to the orange world. Let's move right to the oranges, Amy.
Alrighty. I like orange. I live in the orange world. I'm flaming orange. And so orange is all about risk-taking and spontaneity and fun and adventure. And you see that mountain over there? Let's see if we can climb up it and what's on the other side, even if there's a little risk of injury along the way. And so it's about...
Which probably explains our Stupid Things podcast.
It does lend itself right into that. Yes. It's about having fun and experiences.
It is.
And,
And even work. Oranges make work fun, too.
Which golds hate. You have to raise the level of energy at work.
Yeah, golds hate that oranges make work fun.
Oh, and time clocks are painful. I mean, first of all, the effort that it takes to be there on time, because you had to stop and do 12 more things before you got there, because you can always fit something else in. Right. And so, really, oranges have no command of the clock.
None.
Because... there's really, it's learned.
But the good part
of that... But it's not out of disrespect. It's not a priority.
The good part of that is, though, oranges are fantastic in this work-at-home environment because you can literally flow from doing the dishes to a conference call to, vacuuming the carpet or whatever.
It's hard to vacuum on the conference call.
Yeah, you can't vacuum on the conference call, but
or dry your hair. But,
but you're very flexible and adaptable.
Very creative.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the curveball of being able to make changes and the agility and resilience is very high.
And oranges are also very inspirational. They're very big influencers. They're great at getting everybody else to jump off the mountain with them.
And they're also very accomplishment oriented. It looks very different than a gold. A gold, right. You're going to see progression along the way. An orange... It's procrastination, or it looks like procrastination, but they're really working on it. That creative thought is happening in their head. It's just the night before the report is due is the output of the creative stuff that's been happening. So it really embracing what people have as their natural talents and their capabilities and their interests and who they are at their core. Now, there are also people that have more than one of these as equal as their top temperament.
I have no idea what you're talking about there.
Yeah, Miss Chameleon. And so Cece here has, in terms of the magnitude and the scores, she has all of them as equal, 30, 30, 30, and 30. And so she can tap into anyone at any given moment. Makes her a very masterful communicator because she can switch to any of the different temperaments and be able to communicate in a like fashion with somebody based on their language that they prefer very easily. And yet the other side is you have to make sure you kind of know what you're getting each day, because
or each hour,
because it's like, wait a minute, are you in blue mode or green mode? And so being able to read that could be a little bit more challenging for others,
which is why we're always so big on the idea of having conversations about temperament and colors, because communicating with one another using this language can be incredibly effective, especially for somebody like me who's a chameleon. Because whereas I am very highly adaptable, when I worked in the corporate world, I was highly adaptable, but I was very tough to manage because nobody really ever knew what they were getting when. And so when I learned the language of colors, not only did it explain a whole lot about the committee in my head, but it also really gave me permission to have conversations with people about, you know, where I was at a given time using the language of colors. And the other thing that I will say is that sometimes as a chameleon, some people might label me as moody because, you know, most people usually see me as sort of, you know, communicative and sort of gregarious and, you know, very congenial. But then there are times, like if I hit green mode, I'll get very logical, I'll get more quiet, I get much more introspective. And so people will then say, are you okay? Is there something wrong with you? I'm like, no, I just switched colors.
And then you're also known as one of the best huggers. That's what a lot of your friends is like, oh, I'll take a hug from Cindy any day.
Pre-COVID, I was an amazing hugger. Now I'm much more of a bower, but you know.
Let me bow out of that hug.
Yeah. But so definitely having conversations with one another. And so we would really encourage you, even though we've just kind of touched the tip of the iceberg with
a combination, professions, all those things. And Hollywood does write the movies based on these temperaments. And so as you watch different films, different shows, you can start to pick up how they've embedded these temperaments into the characters.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that because there are two movies that always stand out in my head. So as a chameleon, you know, one of those characters doesn't always represent me in its entirety. And so there are only two movies that I can recall that actually connect directly with my temperament. So one is Inside Out. It's a Disney movie where you get to see all the voices in her head. That is definitely my brain at any given moment. And then the other one is The Divergent. And it was a book and then it was a movie. And The Divergent, without getting into too much explanation, she literally didn't conform to any of the types. And so she was the Divergent. And so I can relate to that. So if you think you're more of a chameleon, definitely check out The Divergent and Inside Out.
Embrace your inner self.
Absolutely. And have conversations with your family members or try to figure out what your family members are and, you know, have those conversations. One thing we always say is colors is not an excuse for bad behavior. So you've got to use your colors powers for good.
Yes. You are not allowed to use that gold look to punish.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to learn more about Real Colors, Real Colors was created by a company called NCTI, National Curriculum Training Institutes, out of Phoenix, Arizona. They have a website. It's realcolors.org. You're always welcome to check it out. It's important to note that Real Colors doesn't speak to just male and female traits. A male or female can be orange, green, blue, or gold. And so that means that a green woman might need cave time just as much as a green man. And a blue man might need to cry just as much as a blue woman. There you have it. I'd like to provide you with some statistics on sexes and real colors. So blues make up 10 to 15% of the population, 40% male, 60% female. Oranges make up 30 to 35% of the population. They are 50-50 male and female. Golds make up about 45% of the population, and they are also 50-50 male-female. Greens make up about 10 to 15% of the population, and they are 60% male, 40% female. It's also important to note that you can be an introverted orange, green, blue, or gold, or an extroverted orange, green, blue, or gold, or an ambiverted, which means you're right on the line in the middle, orange, green, blue, or gold. Real Colors was derived from the work of David Kiersey and Myers-Briggs, and so there are Myers-Briggs indicators that match up with the Real Colors. Thanks for tuning in to CC and Doc Talk. We'd love for you to follow us on social media at CC and Doc. That's CCNDOC. And you can visit our website at ccanddoc.com. We also take monthly donations to support this broadcast if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear your comments, suggestions, and questions, and we'll do our best to respond. Thanks, and have a fantabulous day.